A team of underwater explorers found a historic ghost earlier this month. They located the remains of one of the few U.S. aircraft carriers that's ever been sunk in battle. The USS Yorktown went down in the Pacific more than 1,000 miles from Hawaii during the epic Battle of Midway during World War II. And as the deep-sea expedition made its discovery, the Navy was getting ready to launch its newest aircraft carrier. We dropped by the shipyard the other day in Newport News, Virginia, put on the obligatory construction hat and safety goggles, and made our way past the giant cranes to see how thousands of workers put an aircraft carrier together.
Here, sir. Just watch your step as we walk down the pier here.
Okay. So please make an introduction here.
Well, welcome to Pier 2, Newport News Shipbuilding and Dry Dock Company. This is CVN 75, the Harry S. Truman, set to go to sea June the 8th for the builder sea trial.
Construction supervisor Louis Antonucci guides us through the jumble of cables and paint barrels sprawled across the pier, so close to the new carrier that we can almost touch the gray hull. And it's odd, we're walking in the carrier's shadow right at the water's edge. We have to tilt our heads back to gaze up toward the flight deck. And as we begin climbing the stairs, our perspective is so close that it's hard to get a sense of how huge this thing is. Antonucci rattles off statistics. The carrier weighs 90,000 tons. It's almost as long as 4 football fields. It'll carry 6,000 sailors and a lot of baggage.
14,000 pillowcases, 28,000 sheets, 100,000 rolls of toilet paper, 600,000 ballpoint pens, 1.5 million sheets of paper. Meals served daily, 18,150.
18,000?
Yes, sir.
As we're looking up at the deck, over us, there are dozens and dozens of little pods. What are those?
Those are your life rafts. Should something happen to the ship, those will deploy right out of the racks and explode.
And there are more life rafts on this, I hope, than on the Titanic.
Most definitely.
This same shipyard, the Newport News Shipbuilding Company, built the country's first nuclear-powered aircraft carrier back in 1960. The Truman will be the 13th carrier in the fleet. And according to Navy officials, it's going to be the most formidable with the latest navigation and weapon systems. They've already warned us that they're not going to show us how they're building everything on this carrier. Some sections are off limits. We meet the carrier's captain, Tom Otterbein, on top of the ship, right in the middle of the asphalt flight deck.
Just here to the left is the center line of the landing area. The landing area is canted off 8 degrees, and that allows us to both launch aircraft and recover at the same time.
In a few months, this flight deck will be covered with warplanes, fighters, and bombers, and attack helicopters and radar planes, which in relatively peaceful times will fly routine surveillance missions, defend the airspace around the carrier, stand by for search and rescue missions, and spend a lot of time just practicing taking off and landing. Actually, planes don't take off from the carrier as much as they're launched with a giant slingshot called a catapult. And when they land, Otterbein says, they're caught.
We're standing just back of the one wire. There are 4 wires on the flight deck, spaced about 90 feet apart.
And these are the wires that sort of catch the wheels of the plane?
They don't catch the wheels. The airplane have an arresting gear hook on the back of the airplane that is tied to the keel of the aircraft, so it's very strong and can withstand a lot of punishment. And when you're landing aboard the ship, you lower the landing gear and then you lower the hook. And the hook comes down between, right on the center line of the aircraft.
Otterbein himself used to fly fighters off carriers. In fact, the Navy won't allow you to command a carrier unless you're a military pilot. That way, Otterbein says, you know the captain can empathize with the men and women who have to bring their planes down on this bobbing, shifting, unforgiving runway in the middle of some ocean. When I ask what he means by empathize, Otterbein says, well, think about the winds for a moment. If he can maneuver the carrier so that a wind is blowing 35 miles an hour straight into the airplane's noses as they land, that means the planes will be going 35 miles an hour slower than they could otherwise, which will make their landing a little less dangerous. So, as captain, he'll have to order the carrier to sail in precisely the right direction, at precisely the right speed, at times even go backwards if necessary, to make sure his pilots get that 35 mile an hour headwind at exactly the right angle.
This is really a ballet on the flight deck, and if you have the opportunity to come out and watch an aircraft carrier operate at sea, it really is a ballet orchestrated by the air boss, but the people that are actually making it happen are generally 19 to 22 years old, running these airplanes around the deck, and it's a ballet, but all the ballerinas are elephants because these airplanes all weigh 60,000 pounds, and they're maneuvered very precisely around the flight deck And you can't appreciate how difficult it is and how farsighted you have to be to make it all work.
And in a few minutes, we'll see where the captain helps make it all work, up in his command center, which is perched at the top of a gray tower rising 10 stories above the deck. But before we go up in the tower, we descend into the labyrinths of the carrier below deck with construction supervisor Antonucci. The corridors and stairways are so narrow that there's barely enough room for two people to squeeze through.
Also want to caution you, there's a lot of wet paint everywhere.
One of the amazing things about this ship is how tight everything is. I mean, when you start getting people walking in two directions, you realize how narrow.
Well, generally, they've got ladders that are up and down ladders, and as the crew takes over, they'll use the up ones when they need to go up and the down ones when they need to go down. Especially during emergencies, they'll tell you which side of the ship is up and which side of the ship is down, so you won't have this conflict.
Maybe this aircraft carrier will carry the most sophisticated guidance systems and ferry the latest planes, but down here where most sailors work, it looks pretty much the same stark way as warships did 50 years ago. The corridors stretch way into the distance, bare steel tunnels painted government gray or white. Every 20 feet or so, there's an oval-shaped doorway, each shaped exactly alike. So as you look down these corridors, you get a strange sensation that you're looking into infinity, oval doorway after doorway after doorway after doorway, till they're so small they look like specks.
I'm turned around. Gotta go that way, Scott.
It makes me feel good for some reason that even you, the construction supervisor, get lost on this huge ship.
Yes, sir.
Actually, that's what she says. This carrier is designed so that once it's finished, it'll be almost impossible to get lost. Every compartment between the doorways is a prefabricated unit that was built on land. Then all those units were welded together inside the carrier's hull. Every one of those units is made of 4-foot sections called frames, and every one of the frames has a number.
For example, you start out at the front end of the ship, you see here 175. You go all the way up to frame 1, and you'll go all the way to frame 255. So if a person says, I will see you or meet you at a certain location, he'll tell you, I'll meet you on 03 level, port side, frame 175. And each of these frames are marked, so it's a road map.
So this is like a town of 5,000 or 6,000 people, in which every single 4-foot section of town has an address.
Yes, sir, exactly.
And another thing you eventually notice after tripping through the third or fourth doorway is that none of the doorways reaches all the way to the floor. They're all cut 6 inches higher with watertight doors that can be sealed shut.
At the bottom, so if any flooding should occur, it doesn't just disperse throughout the ship. If a catastrophe happens on the ship, they have to have the ability to isolate it.
How badly could this aircraft carrier be damaged and have water pouring in and still sail and work?
Well, I don't think I'm at liberty to discuss the compartmentation of the ship as far as for flooding conditions. That's confidential. But the ship is well outfitted to withstand any attacks, as well as the defense fleet that sails around it.
Could a few missiles hit the ship and have it still operate? Let's turn to the Navy Public Affairs Officer, Scott Allen.
Well, the ship is definitely can handle some impacts from a missile, but I don't think it's properly been tested. I don't think a carrier's been in the conflict badly enough, especially a nuclear-powered aircraft carrier, to know how much it could sustain as far as damage.
Which brings us back to Captain Tom Otterbein, whose job, among other things, is to try to make sure they never get hit by missiles and learn the answer. Otterbein takes us to his command center, 10 stories high in the tower above the deck.
This is the bridge. We probably ought to wait a couple of minutes before I don't want to sound like an old man with a tobacco problem.
Oh. Whew, that was good exercise. Is this where you'll be most of the time?
Yeah, I'll be here the better part of 20 hours a day in general.
And that which chair is yours?
This one is mine.
It's sort of like an elaborate barber's chair.
I don't know. We don't have many elaborate barbers here. But it's a very comfortable chair, and we're about to put sheepskin on it to make it more comfortable, which is sort of a tradition.
When he swivels the sheepskin one way, Otterbein will be able to gaze down on the runway, where the planes can take off and land at the rate of 2 per minute, faster than the busiest airports in America. Swivel the other way, and he sees computers, big touchscreen computers, programmed with maps of every square foot of ocean over every part of the globe, although his crew is still trying to figure out how to get them to work right.
I did it wrong again. Damn it! I'm gonna kill
myself. You don't want that mic open around me when I'm operating a computer. It'll be beep 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 beep. But this is the right here is the it's our new computerized steering system. What'll happen is that takes a GPS input, global positioning system, and it automatically it'll steer to a track that we entered in there. We could put a track all the way around the world, and it'll steer it. And you could go anywhere, in and out of any port, and it will automatically keep you as close as GPS can keep you to your track, which is...
In theory, you could go in and out of ports on autopilot?
Automatically, it'll steer us right on course.
But Captain Otterbein is a bit skeptical about turning over the carrier to computers. Or maybe traditional is a better word.
We'll do it to prove it works, but my experience on the airplane, I never use the autopilot much on the airplane either, so I would much prefer that people remain hands-on. But it's a great capability that we have. But in operating the ship, generally we won't be in a circumstance where we really need to do it.
Why don't you like to use the automatic pilot? Do you not trust it totally?
No, I trust it totally, but I don't want to get the man out of the loop completely, or the woman for that matter, because the machine is still, it's a wonderful thing, I mean, but it's still a computer, and it won't do what you want it to do, it'll only do what you tell it to do. So if you're not telling it the right thing, you're going to get surprised eventually.
Are you looking forward to sitting in this chair for the coming, how long are you going to be captain of this aircraft carrier?
I'll be here about another year. My crew is... chomping at the bit to get out of the shipyard. The shipyard's been wonderful for us, and we've got a great product from them, but it's still a shipyard, and we need to get out and do what sailors are supposed to do. We need to be on the high seas, and we need to be landing airplanes on this ship.
Are you chomping at the bit?
Yes, sir. My lips are bleeding.
After a few hours on the Harry S. Truman, we've barely begun to glimpse this floating town. For one thing, Navy officials have declared sections off-limits, such as the nuclear reactor that powers the ship, the water desalinization plant that will provide all the drinking water, and the submarine warfare center. Although I managed to peek inside the doorway and gaze at the green, glowing computer screens before they shoo me away and slam the door. Plus, they consent to show us the sleeping quarters, where the thousands of sailors sleep in bunk beds, crammed 3 mattresses to a unit, and they take us past the center for midnight cravings.
We're standing right now outside of ice cream bar number 2, which comes complete with a soft serve machine, along with frozen ice cream bars and things of that nature.
And before we leave the carrier, we make one last stop, the airplane hangar. It's an enormous room, several hundred yards long and about 40 feet high, swarming at the moment with cranes and forklifts. But eventually, this hangar will be crammed with warplanes, 80 of them, waiting their turn to be eased onto special elevators and hoisted up to the top deck for takeoff. And as we stand here, it's a fitting time, perhaps, to wonder, does the U.S. military really need the USS Harry Truman, the 13th aircraft carrier in its fleet? According to government figures, the Truman has cost $3.5 billion to build, and it will cost another $1 billion per year just to operate, including the salaries of the crew. And if you ask military analysts at the nonpartisan Center for Defense Information, they'll tell you that all this is a terrible waste of money. They say there's nothing the U.S. military can accomplish with 13 carriers that it can't accomplish just as well with 8. A lot more cheaply, especially since the Cold War ended years ago. But Captain Otterbein says, if anything, carriers are more important than ever.
We are generally the first responders in the event of any kind of national emergency. The first thing they want to know is, you know, it sounds trite, but where is the nearest carrier? Because that's the way you can get American presence in the area and show American resolve. If you look at the employment of aircraft carriers over the last 10 to 15 years, and especially since the Cold War is over and the Russians have gone away, we are really strapped. I mean, we have had presence. You think of all the things, Somalia, Balkans, Persian Gulf. There's been a lot of call for aircraft carriers, and we have not been idle, I can tell you that. And it's the pace is significantly more than it was when the real threat was the Russians.
The captain takes off for another part of the ship. And as we're about to head back to the pier, I suddenly have a burning question that has nothing to do with American military strategy. It's a simple question. What makes a 90,000-ton aircraft carrier float? Construction supervisor Antonucci and a Navy spokesman Scott Allen and two of their colleagues are all a bit sheepish because they're not sure of the answer either.
Not really. It's been a puzzle in my mind for the years I've been here is how does it float?
Is there anybody within 100 feet who could explain this to us? Do you understand what makes a giant ship float?
No.
Maybe, do you understand why a huge ship like this can float?
No, I don't.
So Alan takes off to find somebody who can answer the question. And a few minutes later, he returns with damaged supervisor Kevin Torsiello.
A huge aircraft carrier floats with the same concept that any ship or boat floats. That is that the shape of the hull displaces the water that is equivalent to the weight of the ship itself. So by the fact that the volume of the hull displaces the amount of weight of water equivalent to the ship allows it to float.
So if I build a 50-pound boat and I design the outside of it so that it displaces 50 pounds of water, I'll float?
That's exactly right. You can make the boat out of anything you want. You can make a boat conceivably out of cement.
If it displaces less than the weight?
Then it will submerge.
And if it displaces more than the weight?
Then it will float higher in the water.
Wow, that's neat. So it's not so complicated after all.
No, sir.
Kevin Torsiello and colleagues of the Navy's newest aircraft carrier, the Harry S. Truman. The ship is in the final stages of construction at a dock in Newport News, Virginia, and is scheduled to begin sea trials on June 8th. And for this evening, that's All Things Considered.